first of all, congratulations, my friend. What a tremendous season. Reflecting back on it real quickly right now, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, crazy season. It was, well, we didn't know what to expect really, and to come out like that and being good actually, and obviously we made it all the way to the final. It's pretty incredible, and for me personally, it was a great year. Scoring 43 goals after scoring 6 last year, it's obviously a lot more fun. So just a crazy journey this whole year, and for sure my most fun year ever playing.
Sunday morning. It's Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman. To my right on your radio dial, Jose Valonte, the man behind Straight Bet Sports. We'll tell you about that. Also behind the big board, doing everything here, making it happen. Waking us up on Sunday morning is Chris Magnum Chapman. Heard him all over Vegas Golden Knights radio this year on Fox Sports Radio. Produces the T.C. Martin Show. Hockey insider, Golden Knights insider, I should say, and about everything else, man. Heard of this guy all over and friends with some of the players. Great interview. I got to stand with Mags on the red carpet during the NHL Awards, 2018 NHL Awards this past Wednesday at the Hard Rock, and really cool interview. I love seeing the relationship he's got with William Karlsson, man. It's pretty cool. I stood there firsthand as they communicated, and we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. William Karlsson, man, what a season this guy had, and the NHL awards in general. A lot going on. Max, did we play that bite with Karlsson? Did I miss it?
Yeah. Your little clip with him. Yeah,
oh, we did play it. Got so much going on. I don't even know what's happening right now. But Jose has taken over responsibility for me so I can get organized here in the morning, man. Again, Out of Line does come your way every Sunday, 8 to 9 right here. This is the flagship station of Golden Knights Hockey, and that is Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. And you can also follow us on Twitter. That's at Out of Line, 1340 AM. Facebook, we've got the fan page, Out of Line, which you'll see this podcast, I should say, live on Facebook, Out of Line. And you can see live on my page, Jose's page, every day. So check that out. Also check out Chris's page, which is at Chris Chapman, if I'm not mistaken, right?
What's that, Facebook?
Yeah, what's your your Twitter handle.
At Magnum702.
702, that's the one that I
Magnum 702, yeah.
702, Magnum's going to live forever. But, Jose, you're doing What's on Tap, man, so check it out. We're going to let him take over this. But, hey, again, there's no show without callers and people that listen, right? So the Fox Sports Studio line, 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
That's right. What's on Tap is pouring out to you thanks to Bubby's University on South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo, a great place to watch every game. If you guys did not know, I do have my podcast, like Brian says, called Straight Bet Sports. You can check that out on straightbetsports.com. Also, one thing that you guys probably already know by now, the walking encyclopedia to my left, which is Brian Feldman. Not only that, like we said earlier, the one and only Chris Magnum Chapman, Lotus Broadcasting producer. You can check him out every single day on the T.C. Martin Show, weekdays 3 to 4, right here on Fox. Today, we got Brian is going to let us talk a little bit more about the World Cup. We're going to talk about Mexico. Pretty sure a lot of people want to know what happened there. Stanley Cup Finals did end a couple weeks ago, but the NHL's best were in town this last week for the 2018 award shows, and we have some of the best red carpet interviews you haven't heard yet. William Karlsson, George McPhee, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman, Victor Hedman, PK Subban, and NHL legend Mark Messier. Fact this involves the NBA, and we'll tell you guys about the Las Vegas 51s as well. The best and worst part of the show as well, as always, is that you can check us out on Facebook Live during the show and after the show gets put up on our Facebook page. What's on Tap is brought to you by Bubby's University, where you can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means they never close. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
I'm hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you're not. Blazing brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. It is a slap shot from Centennial Hills Hospital. Two happy hours every day. And, of course, America's favorite place for Wings, Beer, and Sports. Coming up in a couple months is football season. And every Monday night, we will be there giving away replica jerseys, wing parties. Make sure you come on down. I'm going to make Jose come out occasionally if we can get him away from Sprint for a couple of hours. And we'll get him out there. Maybe Mags. I think Mags came out once or twice with me before. It's always a good time. Some good free stuff. So make sure you come on out. And Monday Night Football is something I'm going to talk a little bit about. We're going to talk about the NBA, in fact, this. But there's going to be two portions of it because I don't know if you guys saw this past week, but the NFL hired an official that is going to be the analyst during Monday Night Football games. This guy's a joke. I mean, he was a joke as an official. I can't believe they're going to put him in the booth. I'm going to talk to you about that during practice.
Which ref is it? Oh, you'll tell us that.
I'm going to tell you, man. I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm going to talk to
you
during practice.
But you got
to
let us hear it.
Believe
me,
put it this way. I'll give you a clue. A long time ago, not that long ago, an offensive lineman was hit in the face with a flag that ended his career. Oh. This is the guy that threw the flag. Okay, he's a moron. He really is. His crew is always screwing up, and I'm amazed they're going to put him in the booth. We're going to talk about that a little bit down the road as well. We'll fact this. But right now, I want to get into the World Cup. I want to say a couple of things to you guys. I want to impress you a little tiny bit with my knowledge, and I'm going to let you run. Okay, first of all, I'm watching this year, and really, it is an amazing story. And I know you guys, what Mexico is doing in Russia is pretty damn cool. They're making history. You got a guy, Chicharito, scoring his 50th international goal. And if I'm not mistaken, he is now tied for the most goals in Mexico in World Cup history. Is that correct? He's got, I think, 4 or 5 goals now in the World Cup, and he is... Javier Hernandez, right? And he is
correct.
And he's got, I think, 5 World Cup goals now, which ties for all time in Mexico for a single player.
First single World Cup.
Pretty darn cool. 50. Jose, you know, I know, huge, you're wearing your Mexico, of course, your Adidas jersey. I'm wearing the Brazil jersey because next to the United States, who, of course, are not represented in the 2018 World Cup, Brazil has always been a team close to my heart because as a kid growing up, I knew absolutely nothing about soccer, which is only a little bit less than I know right now. But I did know one thing. There was one name that every kid in America knew in the 70s. He came to play for the New York Cosmos, and it became a gigantic story. His name was Pelé. And to me, Pelé is one of the most iconic athletic figures in the history of our, I'll say, of modern times. The bottom line is, when you talk about icons, you talk about Babe Ruth, you talk about Muhammad Ali, you might even talk about Joe Louis, there's other people, Jesse Owens. Come on, Pelé, Mags, is in that conversation, correct?
For iconic athletes?
Of
all time in the history of the world, he certainly... You know, I don't know much about the political strife in Brazil when Pelé was coming up, so I can't compare him to Ali because Ali transcended both the sporting world and the political spectrum. But, you know, as far as just sporting icons, strictly sports, Pelé's got to be...
Right there!
He may be the biggest. You know, I mean, listen, I think Americans, a lot of time, we lose sight of just how big some of these soccer players are. I mean, Pelé was huge. Diego Maradona, still to this day, is probably one of the most recognized people on the entire planet. Maybe not in the United States because, you know, let's be real, soccer really didn't start to get popular here until about 10, 15 years ago. But a lot of these guys, Pelé, Diego Maradona, as I said, Franz Beckenbauer, you know, these guys were iconic worldwide. Johan Cruyff, you know, another guy, you know, these guys were iconic all over the world, except in America and in Canada.
But last guy you just mentioned, this Cruyff guy, I've never heard of him, Mags. Well, when did he play? Just tell me
He played in the 70s.
Okay.
But
Pelé,
yeah, he revolutionized the game.
Okay,
But Pelé is...
Was it his personality? What made Pelé? Because, you know, you talk about iconic, and you're right. I'm not comparing him to Muhammad Ali. That was political as well. I mean, Muhammad Ali stood toe-to-toe with the government and basically went to jail as opposed to going to Vietnam. I mean, nobody will ever forget that. But it's not about being political, because Babe Ruth was far from political, unless you're talking about drinking. He might have been one of the most political baseball drinkers of all time. But when you talk about iconic legends, Babe Ruth ended his career in the basically the late 1930s, and we're still talking about this guy today.
Well, because because he played for the Yankees, who, you know, the very famous Murderer's Row and all that stuff.
He made them Murderer's Row. Yeah. He made them. It was the house that Ruth built.
You know, the thing with Babe Ruth was he was. You know, I just don't know if when we go through the history of sports in this country, if we will ever find an athlete who was more dominant in his sport, in his era, than Babe Ruth was during his. I mean, maybe at some point we'll compare Tom Brady to Babe Ruth, like maybe 50 years. Because, you know, what Tom Brady's doing, you know, look, the guy's got 5 Super Bowl rings, and as much as I want to punch him in the face because I can't stand the Patriots, I kid. I don't really want to punch a guy in the face because, you know, we don't want to go down that road. But, you know, the thing is,
I do, man. He's married to Giselle. He's won 5 Super Bowls. You know, I want to punch him in the face.
The thing is, like there really is, like, even Brady, right? Like, he, as dominant as he is, there was a year that Babe Ruth hit more home runs than everybody in the entire majors combined.
Well, and it was at the end of his career, or not quite at the end of his career, but people were starting to say he was washed up when he had a 60 home run season. But the point is, iconic, and that was Pele.
Yeah.
From the famous bicycle kick, I mean, as a kid, I knew what a bicycle kick was because of Pele. Like I said, when he came to the Cosmos, it was a huge story in the United States when soccer wasn't really recognized here as the international sport that it really is, the biggest sport in the world. We weren't paying attention. Pele made everyone in this country in the 70s pay attention to soccer, and that was something very special for that time period.
Yeah, I mean, you really have to wonder if Pele does not come and play in the United States for the Cosmos. You know, the United States, they did miss the World Cup this year. They didn't qualify, but there was a long stretch of time between, I think, the 1930s. Maybe it was, I'm trying to remember, it may have been 1954. And then 1990 for the U.S. That's how long the drought was for them to not make the World Cup. That's what, 46 years that they had gone without making the World Cup. So if Pele does not come over, what you have to remember is that generation of American soccer players who took the U.S. to the World Cup in 1990, they all grew up watching Pele.
No question about it.
So if Pele does not come over and play for the Cosmos in the late 70s, early 80s, who knows? Maybe there is no U.S. World Cup in 1990. Maybe the U.S. doesn't get the World Cup in 1994. You know, so Pele, not only revolutionary all over the world, but the last generation of soccer players, maybe they don't grow up playing soccer without Pele.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Zlatan, how do you say his name? Ibrahimovic.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
If you ask him, he's better than Pele.
He's larger than life.
He's larger than life, of course.
Wasn't he at Manchester United? He called himself a god, correct?
Well,
he was going to stay in Paris if they were going to replace, if they would replace the Eiffel Tower with him. He was going to re-sign with, I mean, you know what? He's a character. I just brought him up because I think it's interesting when you talk about the last decade, really dominated by Cristiano Ronaldo and really Lionel Messi.
Here's one thing,
but this guy, you can't forget him. As iconic as he is and what he has done in LA with the Galaxy right now, this guy has made himself rock star status. Well, it's almost like another David Beckham, right?
He's always been. I mean, he's like we said, he is larger than life's Zlatan. I couldn't root for him when he was with Man United because I absolutely loathe Manchester United, but for the time he wasn't with Man United, and now that he's not with Man United anymore, I can go back to being a fan of his. Because I'll say this, he's Swedish. If he plays in that game yesterday, if he's playing for Sweden, they beat Germany. There's no doubt in my mind that they would have beaten Germany.
I mean, he is responsible for 2 World Cups for Sweden, isn't he, pretty much?
They've never won a World Cup, but
the Swedish team.
No, they've never won. But he was, you know, on the club level, he's played for every iconic club on the planet. And I think, you know, the thing is, if he's so good and he's so big and he's so talented that there were a couple of opportunities that Sweden had yesterday that maybe he puts them away. And, you know, like the right before the half, if that's him heading that ball and not someone else, Neuer probably doesn't make that save. And Sweden probably goes into the locker room up 2-0. completely different game at that point.
Changes the whole outcome.
Yeah.
Is Mexico more worried?
No, I don't think Mexico's worried.
So.
Sweden has a very difficult time scoring, so I think Mexico will be okay.
I'm saying if he's there, on absolutely. The team, is Mexico more worried?
If he's absolutely. The team for sure, 100%.
Mexico's more worried.
Yeah. 100%.
I mean, and I got to ask you about this because we do got to talk about the World Cup. Well, the bottom line is I love the phrase. I came like a king and left like a legend.
He is
that's crazy. But
personality wise,
but I got to ask you something about Mexico really quickly because I wanted you guys to get into this. You know, again, soccer, I'm still somewhat oblivious to a lot of it. But right now, I understand that you know Mexico obviously 2-0, great start for them in Russia. This game against Sweden, all they've got to do is basically draw, and they're definitely on to the round of 16.
Correct.
It looked to me like against Germany, especially, they didn't play for a draw. They didn't care. They wanted to win that game.
Yeah, they came out all forces. Yeah.
In this game, do you play not to lose, or do you come out and play aggressively and say, we're not playing for a draw, we want to go 3-0?
I think you play aggressively for the first half and see how things are going.
I agree.
If you take it into the locker room and it's 0-0, you can drop back a little bit and play a little bit more of a defensive game. What worries me about Sweden is where are their goals going to come from? In order for Mexico not to advance, they would need to lose to Sweden by 2 goals, and then they would need Germany to beat South Korea by 2 goals. So even then, I think it's all even on goal differential. Then I think it's goals scored, which I think at that point, Mexico, I think they would actually all be even, if I'm not mistaken. If Sweden wins 2-0, Germany wins 2-0, Germany would be through based on goals because they would have 4.
Yeah.
And then it would come down to goals scored between Mexico and Sweden. They'd both have 3.
So they'd all be tied.
So I don't know what the tiebreaker is after that. But long story short, it would take a lot for Mexico to not advance. I think they're in a good position.
So it is good to just play aggressively because you want to, basically you're using this game as a practice for the round of 16.
No, not. It's varied. You know, I mean, I think because these guys are so technically skilled and they're in such great shape, that you're not using a game for practice, but what you're doing is you have to find that line. And I think Juan Carlos Osorio will find it because I'm one of the people who actually thinks he's a good coach. I know a lot of Mexican fans don't like him. Maybe they'll start to believe in the guy now.
How can they not like him?
He's a great coach.
Mexico is playing.
Before the World Cup, there were a lot of people who...
But I'm saying right now, they're playing as good as anybody.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you know, and again, I've watched...
Let me ask you a question, Max, real quick. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I had someone tell me the other day, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. They told me that Mexico is the greatest team that they've seen play box-to-box, end-to-end. But their biggest problem is give up a lot of scoring opportunities that they should, and defensively they break down a lot.
They do break down a lot defensively, and let's remember in the World Cup qualifying, Michael Bradley scored a goal from midfield.
Correct.
on them, which is not something you ever really see at that level. But, you know, I think Mexico is fine. I'm not so sure they're the best box-to-box team. Look, they have great players, and this is obviously a great generation of Mexican players, and a lot of young guys, too, like Chucky Lozano, who I think scored yesterday, or he scored the goal against Germany.
Yeah, he scored.
Vela scored yesterday. Vela, I think, plays in the MLS.
LAFC, yeah. Yes.
So, like, you know, the thing is, this is a really good group of Mexican players, you know, and it's like soccer for a lot of countries goes in cycles. If you are not Germany, if you're not Spain, if you're not Brazil, you have cycles where you build these guys up from the time that they're youth players up until you get to this senior level.
And or you get a player like Lionel Messi and Portugal becomes an unbelievable
Ronaldo,
team because of one player.
Yeah, I mean, Portugal goes based on Messi or on Ronaldo.
And they can win the World Cup with this one guy.
They could. You know, I mean, they won the European Championship.
Are they not playing tremendous soccer right now?
They are. You know what? They are. However, you know, I thought they were lucky to get the draw with Spain. They didn't play great against Morocco. You know, Iran is not going to be an easy match for them.
They're not going to be an easy out at all.
You know, I mean, and for Morocco or for Iran, they're playing for an opportunity to advance in the second round as well, which would be the first time they've ever done that. So, you know, it's a great sporting event. There's so many fantastic players. You know, right now we're watching Senegal and Japan on the TV. Senegal got a goal from Sadio Mane, my guy from Liverpool early on. And for the record, I was in the press box 2 weeks ago. Senegal was my surprise team. They win today. They look like they will advance.
They go to the round of 16.
If there's a draw between Colombia and Poland, they're guaranteed. I think it would take a lot for them to not get through. But, you know, it's just such a great sporting event because it's one of those things where it unites the world. Look, you know what? I'm rooting against Russia because I don't like Russia. I don't think they should have gotten the World Cup. But you know what?
They're playing well.
They are playing well. I don't know if they've had a real test yet because Egypt kind of self-destructed the other day against them. But, you know, it's a great sporting event. It's my favorite sporting event that we have in this, you know, and it only comes once every 4 years. But a lot of people don't realize qualification for the World Cup, for the next World Cup, which will take place in Qatar, they're going to start next year. In Asia, they'll start in March of 2019 to start qualifying for the World Cup. So, I mean, this is not something where they just take 32 teams and they're like, oh, okay, you're in. I mean, the qualification, every country on the planet, with the exception of a few, has an opportunity to win the World Cup, which is why it's great. Look, if you're Fiji, you're not going to win the World Cup, but to have an opportunity to play in the World Cup,
it's huge.
It's huge.
It's huge.
Another thing, too, I wanted to piggyback off. You guys were talking about Ronaldo and Messi. I'm half Mexican, half Argentinian. So the people that know me, that are listening, know that I like Messi. I'm a big fan of Messi. But here's the thing. Diego Armando Maradona came out in support in saying that Messi needs more help. No one's doing anything around him. I'm sorry. People compare him to Ronaldo and say that Ronaldo's better or Messi's better. I don't like Ronaldo. Ronaldo has less on his team with Portugal playing around him than Messi does. But yet, look at what Ronaldo's doing. Ronaldo's doing way more on a team that has way less. Messi has more stars. He has players that have won European League titles in England. But you can't tell me that Messi needs more help. I'm sorry. Messi has all the help he can get. Messi has been non-existent in this World Cup. And that's coming from a Messi fan. I don't know what you think. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. But I think that Messi has been non-existent. He complains and says that he quits and then comes back for the World Cup again.
Yeah.
But now he doesn't show up. Come on. It's a joke. He needs to show up more.
And I don't know where this idea that he doesn't have help is coming from. I mean, like you said, he's got a lot of really good players that he's playing alongside. I mean, Higuain plays for Juventus. You know, great player. You know, there's a lot of really good players in Argentina.
Cunagüero with Man City.
Exactly. You know, and I think part of the problem is I think Sampaoli, who's their coach, I think he's a little out of his element. You know, I mean, he was the coach at Sevilla, which is a mid-table. You know, they're an average to good
third or fourth
Spanish
team.
Maybe, yeah. But this isn't, you know, you could coach that team and there's no pressure. When you're coaching Argentina, all the pressure in the world is on you because in Argentina, you expect to win the World Cup. Whether or not you have the team that could do it, another story. But when you are Argentina, Brazil, Spain, Germany, France, you expect to raise that trophy when you go into the tournament like this. If you're Senegal, if you're Japan, if you're Iran, if you're Morocco, you're happy to be there.
You're happy to get a win.
Sure, you want to win a game, but reality is you know you don't have the players to win the World Cup. Mexico may have the players to do it. Whether they would not have been one of my favorites going in, but it's hard to argue against them being one of the favorites right now.
I mean,
between them and Belgium, I don't know, and Croatia, to me, those have been the three most impressive teams of the World Cup so far.
Yeah, pretty exciting. Like I said, I don't know a great deal. You guys are way over my head on a lot of it. I was more into it 4 years ago, of course, because the United States really showed up, and it was a lot of fun to watch that. Them being gone.
Hey, but thank you for letting us bring a little soccer.
Well,
you know,
it's huge right now. And you know what? And I agree with both of you. The one thing is, you know, the greatest players in the world, this is when they step up. I don't know what's going on with Messi because I do hear that he has a supporting cast. And what you said, Jose, you know, not knowing much about soccer, my God, Ronaldo is carrying the Portugal team, and they could win the World Cup because of how great of a soccer player he is. I'll leave it at that. I want to let you know, we've got a lot of interviews coming up on the other side of this break. Right on the other side, I got a chance on the red carpet, my first time for a one-on-one with General Manager George McPhee. If you've listened to this show at all, and I know Magnum's been forced to because he's stuck running the board for all the entire time, Jose's been here for a while, but in all seriousness, I have been singing this guy's praises, as a lot of people have all season long. What a mastermind George McPhee is, using the philosophy of Herbie Brooks. Of course, played at Bowling Green with a couple of guys that played for Herbie Brooks. He got a chance to play for Brooks with the Rangers very early on in his short career in the NHL. But George McPhee, a man of few words, a mastermind, and he gave us a quote that we're going to be using on this show forever at the end of the interview. You heard all that on the other side. All right.
Chicharito.
I'm not on. Am I on?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on. I can't even hear myself, man. It's my headphones. Chicharito?
You like that, right?
Chicharito. I like Chicharito.
It's a good nickname.
I like 50 goals internationally, man, and I like hearing a guy break records. That's pretty darn cool. But what I want to do right now is, in fact, this will come up in a little bit. We got a couple really cool things for that. What I want to do right now is get to that George McPhee interview. Again, I got a chance to talk to him on the red carpet. Like I said, the way this interview ended, I was cracking up. I mean, I was trying hard not to, because you don't hear and you would never expect George McPhee to make the reference that he did at the end of the interview, but this is George McPhee on the red carpet last Wednesday night.
General Manager George McPhee, it's all over the season, I should say. Just reflecting back on it.
Well, it's remarkable that a year ago at this time we were just picking a team, and now we're coming off a Stanley Cup final appearance, and we have four people in the organization nominated for major awards. We're really proud.
Putting this team together, I mean, you've been asked so many questions, it probably gets ridiculously redundant, but what was the philosophy and the theory at the beginning?
It was simple. It was hire a real good staff so we can get the right players, and let's build the best team we can.
What do you think you reflected on the most in your life when you, to do this and put it together? I know you did it in Washington, but what did you reflect on the most?
The thing that comes to mind for me here is just the incredible support we got from our fan base in Las Vegas. It's been a magical ride playing for them and performing for them and being supported by them.
How about T-Mobile Arena, the atmosphere, the fans, and the way the city embraced this team?
Yeah, it's the best in any sports league, I believe. We've been all over the world. We've been in every NHL rank. There is no place like our crowd at T-Mobile.
You know, it's a moronic question, but if I was to say 1 year ago right now, George, we're standing here and we're talking about the Golden Knights just got done losing in five games in the Stanley Cup final, what would you have said to me?
I would have said you're smoking something.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That's got to be the greatest reference ever.
Is it not phenomenal? George McPhee with the marijuana reference. I mean, I assume that's when he said you got to be smoking something. But, you know, everyone would give that answer again if you were asked him a year ago. The team wasn't even formed yet. They haven't even had the expansion draft yet. And to tell the guy, hey, you're going to be playing in the Stanley Cup Finals. Come on, man. There's no way in hell that is happening. But, Chris, we got a chance to go to the NHL 2018 Awards at the Hard Rock. My first time covering anything on a red carpet. I think it was yours too.
Yeah.
It was from, just from the event itself, the setup, to the Humboldt Broncos, to everything else that we got to see, man. It was truly, what a great cap off to one of the most magical runs we've ever seen in our life.
Yeah, and I think the best thing that I heard from anybody there actually came from Anze Kopitar. And after he came and spoke to the media, his comment basically was, you know, he was talking about Taylor Hall when he won the Hart. And Taylor, I guess, had referenced, you know, because we're in the back room, so we don't really get to hear all the speeches and stuff and see the guys go up and get the awards. But, you know, he said that Taylor had talked about how, you know, that the people in hockey are bigger than the sport, you know, basically. And that, you know, the thing with Humboldt and the way the NHL rallied around that, you know, people leaving sticks outside their doors, and, you know, it affected almost every single player in the league who maybe had zero connections to Humboldt, but they all remember riding that bus as juniors. And then he talked about Parkland, and, you know, we know the fantastic work that Roberto Luongo and the rest of the Florida Panthers did in helping those kids and that community heal. And then that high school going on to win the state championship.
Cool. So cool.
I think they had a losing record, and they went on to win the state championship in hockey, which a lot of people probably don't even realize. They have a state championship for hockey in Florida. And then he talked about Vegas and how all three of the tragedies were connected. And, you know, unless you actually experience them, you really have no idea, you know, what it is to go through it. But as a parent, how you're affected by all of them, and how the hockey community really came together for all of those tragedies, and that, you know, the people within the game are bigger than the game itself. And, you know, it was emotional, because you could tell he was getting a little emotional about it. And, you know, I mean, we know certainly in Las Vegas how a hockey team can bring a community together, especially after a tragedy. But, you know, what I saw this year in the league was just so many good guys. And, you know, it's my first year covering the NHL, and I was just blown away by the amazing people that I met. You know, from Eric Carlson, who was such a good guy, who may end up being here, you never know. You know, to all the guys in the Golden Knights, and you know, to me, Derek England really stood out as a guy who nobody really knew a whole lot about other than the fact that he was a fighter. But the way him and his wife stepped up and helped this community heal, I mean, I don't know if anyone will ever be able to top something like that in this community as far as being someone who helps bring all of us together.
Oh, no question about it. Derek England won the Mark Messier Memorial Award, and I shouldn't say Memorial, but the Mark Messier Award.
Yeah, he's not dead yet. Let's not go there.
But not only not dead, I got a chance to talk to Mark Messier, one of my idols. I hated him when he played for the Oilers. Didn't mind him so much for the Rangers.
Oh, see, I'm the opposite. I hated him when he played for the Rangers because I was a Devils fan.
Well, there you go. But,
but you know what? Three Stanley Cups to his one with the Rangers, I'll take that trade-off.
Hey, can I say one thing about the award show, though? I wasn't there, but if you guys don't follow Mags on social media, you have to. This guy's suit game was on.
No, it was on fire. He
was
definitely
on point that night.
He rented an awesome awesome tux, and you're right. Mags looked great that night. We got a chance to talk to a lot of people, as you mentioned, when the Humboldt Broncos came down the red carpet. Seriously, man, I got emotional. A couple of guys in wheelchairs. It was truly something to see. And then every trophy was paraded down the red carpet. We got to get up close and personal with each one of these awards. They are amazing statues. They're not even trophies. These are amazing awards, aren't they?
They are very impressive to see in person.
Yeah, incredible.
You know, the Conn Smythe, which goes to the MVP of the final or the playoffs, is really impressive. The Vezina is really impressive. The Art Ross, to me, is really impressive.
Gorgeous trophy.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Adams, they're all
Messier
really...
Messier was a great trophy.
Yeah, I mean, the Hart is kind of a strange-looking trophy because it looks like either an artichoke or a giant Q-tip, but yeah. it's still a really cool-looking...
A giant Q-tip, that's really... But it is like the artichoke top of it.
Yeah.
It is. But we got a ton of interviews to get to. I want to make sure you guys get to hear these because they really were special. It was cool. Mags, we're going to start off with yours. As I said, we were, you know, as they went down the red carpet, we got a chance to talk to a lot of these guys. William Carlston stopped in front of us. Mags had a really good conversation with him. It was cool. They also talked about the Swedish soccer team, talked about his unbelievable run with the Golden Knights, and you can hear throughout the interview what a good guy he is.
How are you? I'm pretty good. Yourself? Good to see you again.
Yep.
It's been only a couple weeks, but...
Yeah.
So being up for I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the name of the award, but what is it? The Lady Bing.
Lady Bing.
What does it mean to you when they make those nominations and you see your name up there as one of the most gentlemanly players in the league? Personally, what does it mean for you?
Well, first of all, it's very cool to get to come here to the awards. So I was very excited for that, and now I'm here having a good time. I think. It means I did a good job this year. I mean, didn't take a lot of penalty minutes, and combine that with the level high of play. I cherish this whole season and the award and the nomination.
One of the things I notice about your play is you're one of the best defensive forwards I've seen play in the NHL. But you weren't up for the Selke, but again, Lady Bing, but. When you look back at the season, what's the one thing that you've had a couple weeks now, so what's the one thing you're going to take away?
From this whole year?
Yeah, from the season.
I mean, it was just a lot of fun. I mean, no one believed in us. It was like ourselves against the world, and it was just fun to prove everyone wrong. It was fun to see the whole city rally behind us. And for me personally, it was a lot of fun to be in an offensive role and contribute it, like with scoring goals and stuff like that. So just this whole season has been pretty magical. Tough ending, obviously, but I think looking back in a few months and years to come, I think we're going to be happy with season.
What does it say about the character of the guys in this locker room when you're up for the Lady Bing, Derek is up for a couple leadership awards? Just what does that say about the job that George McPhee did, putting a bunch of really high character guys together?
No, I think it means that they did a good job of picking guys, and I think every guy who came here really stepped up and showed the previous teams that they did wrong to not protect them. And I mean, everyone had something to prove, and it went better than we ever could have imagined. So I think kudos to George and the rest of the staff.
You definitely have better hair than Derek, but who's dressed better, you or Derek?
He's good, but I think I'll take the prize. Yeah, I'll take the prize. Yeah, I can't say someone else, right?
What did you think of Sweden's first game in the World Cup?
It was solid. I think they controlled the match pretty good. We got the penalty after the video review, which was kind of nerve-wracking. But after that, it looked good. I think so. And it's going to be tough against Germany on Saturday.
Yeah, because they're going to be a little angry, right?
Yeah, I mean, Germany's going to have the ball all the time. So it's just going to be a nerve-wracking. I'm just going to poop my pants pretty much. So I'll just hope they get away with a draw.
But you did tell me Sweden was going to win the World Cup because they are the best team, kind of like the Golden Knights in a way, right?
Yeah,
best group,
you know,
of guys to make a team.
They might not have the biggest stars, but hey, it's 11 guys out there, and if they work together, anything can happen.
All right, thanks a lot, bud.
William Karlsson and Chris Magnum Chapman on the red carpet last Wednesday night at the 2018 NHL Awards. I also got a chance to talk with Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the National Hockey League. Talked to him about the Vegas Golden Knights, and interesting conversation.
Talking with the commissioner, Gary Bettman, you're here in Vegas, 2018 year awards, maybe the most special of all time, simply because of where they're at and what just happened here. Could you have ever dreamed when you agreed to allowing a team to come to Las Vegas that something like this could potentially happen?
Well, when we decided to expand to Las Vegas, we believed that Las Vegas would support NHL hockey. The Golden Knights have done an incredible job. I think the tragedy of October 1st brought the community and the team together quicker than anybody could have imagined. I think the success on the ice was more than anybody could have predicted, but all the factors came together, and to see the response of this community to the team and the response of this team to the community and the unity it's brought forth has been incredible.
You know, I know it's mere conjecture and everyone has their theory on how this happened, but when you sit home and you look back at this season and reflect on the Golden Knights, how did this happen?
You know, there's a reason we play the games. There's an emotion to playing a professional sport, particularly hockey. And at the end of the day, it's really what the players do on the ice and the support of the community that determines success.
Talk about Bill Foley as an owner and our newest owner in the NFL. NHL, what do you think of him?
I think he's done a phenomenal job. He was passionate, he was committed, and he decided he wanted a team for Las Vegas. And they've done everything in a first-class professional way, and we're proud to have him in Las Vegas in the league.
How about T-Mobile Arena?
It's a great arena. That's why we're here.
Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner. Could a guy be more thrilled with Las Vegas? I got a chance to talk to another guy that I, being a guy that played defense when I played hockey all those years, really enjoy a defenseman, especially a guy like Victor Hedman, who can put the puck in the net, is a big intimidating force, and the winner of the James Norris Trophy, and let me tell you something, deservedly so. This was Victor Hedman on the red carpet Wednesday.
Victor Hedman here for the Norris Trophy. What are you thinking, man? I mean, the time has passed. Did you get over that last loss and not getting to the ultimate goal?
Well, I don't think you get over it. You know, you want to win the Stanley Cup, and, you know, I haven't accomplished that yet. So, you know, after this is done, it's back home and get ready for next year. Bottom line.
What did this year teach you?
No, it teaches you that, you know, you got to hit your stride in the playoffs, and, you know, we played against a great team in Washington, and, you know, you got to score goals to win hockey games. That's the bottom line. But, you know, I'm happy with Elvis here, step towards the right direction after, you know, missing out on the playoffs and then jumping back in and losing in game seven. But, you know, we just got to get back to work and get better next year.
What would it say if you were the winner of the Norris Trophy as the league's top defenseman? What would that mean to you?
No, it would mean a lot to me, obviously. Only being the third Swedish defenseman to win it and the first first Lightning defenseman to win it. You know, it would be very special for me and my family, and you know, but you know, we'll see in a few hours.
Victor, here in Vegas, the 2018 awards a little different this year with Vegas having a team. What about that whirlwind and what you saw here in Las Vegas? Was that as amazing to you guys around the league as it was to all of us watching?
It sure was, and I think it was an inspiration, you know, to a lot of teams, and you know, with what happened in October, you know, the way the community and the team rallied around and, you know, got stronger together, and the way they played the game, you know, it was one of the toughest games I think we played all year was against these guys. So, you know, like I said earlier, I don't think this is a fluke. I think they'll be back stronger next year and, you know, ready to go. They got some unbelievable players and a good coach. So, you know, they'll be back for more next year.
Finally, you guys get crazy up in Tampa Bay and they're fans, but have you ever seen anything like the atmosphere at T-Mobile Arena here in Las Vegas?
It was amazing. You know, it was very loud and, you know, the crowd was into it. And, you know, I think there was a lot of Lightning fans at that game as well. So, but the atmosphere, the music, everything was just amazing. And, you know, they got a real hockey town here. And, you know, hockey, you know, you can see that hockey can survive in all places. You know, Florida, Vegas, maybe places you don't think hockey is gonna thrive. But, you know, I can say firsthand in Tampa, you know, we got some of the best fans in the league and, you know, some of the best atmospheres. So I'm very proud and happy to play hockey in Florida and represent the Tampa Bay Lightning.
We think we got some great fans here now from Detroit, and I'm amazed at what I'm seeing here, right?
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Hey, listen, seriously, best of luck tonight. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Okay, appreciate it.
Victor Hedman, one of the best, if not the best defenseman in the National Hockey League. I don't know about the best. There's some great ones, but he's a real good one, a runner-up.
Well, he won the Norris Trophy, so
the best this year.
The league says he's the best right
now.
Yeah,
he's the best this year.
He scored a goal here, actually, for Tampa when they came and played here. I was disappointed because he cut his hair. You know, like when he had the long hair, he looked like he was like the lead singer of a heavy metal band.
He really did.
I mean, he's got the shorter hair now, but man, he looks so cool with that long hair. I mean, it was like, and it wasn't like Joe Juno ugly mullet long hair or Chris Simon mullet long hair. It was like rock star long hair. It was cool.
Yeah, no question about it. Victor Hedman, cool as a cucumber, and I'll tell you what, man, on the ice, he's something special. One of the runners-up to the Norris Trophy, his brother is the backup goaltender, one of the backup goaltenders of the Vegas Golden Knights. P.K. Subban is coming to his own in the National Hockey League and is one of the most feared defensemen in the league. I don't think anyone would have been disappointed had he won the Norris Trophy either. A intimidating guy, a guy that can put the puck in the net, a guy that can lay the lumber and can flat out play defense. I got a chance to see P.K. Subban. And, hey, it was pretty cool, Chris, if you remember, he even asked me about his accessory on the red carpet. He literally walked up, we were talking to him, and he goes, "What do you think, man?" Somebody was giving him a little crap about his accessory. He goes, "What do you think?" I thought it was kind of cool. It was different, kind of like a neck-hanging piece of jewelry, but it was all right, right?
And P.K. going to be in the cover of NHL 19?
Yeah.
For EA Sports, for if you are a gamer, he's going to be on the cover coming up next year.
Is that going to be a jinx, like being on the cover of Madden?
No, you know what? I asked a couple people because, you know, there were some people they were clamoring for William Karlsson to be on the cover. And, you know, I was concerned about, is there a jinx? But apparently there's not. Not with NHL. I think Connor McDavid was on the cover last year, so you know what? Edmonton didn't have a very good season, so maybe there is a jinx.
Scary.
I don't know.
Well, I got a chance to talk to P.K. Subban, and this was P.K. Subban on the red carpet.
Quick, just want to reflect back on the season. What a tremendous year you guys had. Just reflecting now. I know it's over. It settles in. Where are you guys at?
Yeah, we're great. You know what? Our team right now, we're just getting prepared for the season like we would always do. I think it's still early, so guys are doing a mix of vacation and just kind of starting to move around and start training again, so it's good.
What about your brother, and what an unbelievable experience to play for this team in Las Vegas. What was that like?
Yeah, you know what? I think it was a great learning year for him, and to go that deep in the playoffs and be around it, I think it's great experience early in your career to understand the work that it takes to get there, and I think it'll serve him well as his career progresses.
What do you think of this team out here in Vegas? Have you ever seen anything like it, or could you or him ever imagine anything like this?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen anything like it. It's pretty special what they've done, but you know, this world has a quick way of humbling everyone, and you know, no matter what you did the year before, you got to come back and do it again. But they have a very good team. They got a good coach, good GM. I see the bright future for that hockey club.
Last question, the Predators, what do you take out of this year being record-wise the best team in the NHL to go into next year and say, okay, one step farther?
I would say just be pissed off for greatness. Just, you know, come into the season, you know, agitated and irritated to want to take another step forward.
He played hockey agitated and irritated. That's the way P.K. Subban plays hockey. Seems that way all the time. You can just see him. I mean, the guy's got, like, no neck. He is just a physical presence. You know that he's built like a brick you-know-what house and not somebody you want to mess with on the ice. A guy that you never wanted to mess with on the ice. Big, strong guy, not known for fighting back in his day, but known to be one of the best hockey players in the league when he played. And I would say, you know, he's one of the greatest of all time. There's a trophy after him, and they call that the Leadership Award. Of course, we already talked. Derek England won that. Mark Messier, it was so cool. First time I've ever met him. First time I've ever interviewed him. And I was really impressed. I was worried he'd be more of a cocky guy, maybe a little bit more standoffish. Messier was great. Talked to him about the Golden Knights. And I didn't really get to talk to him a lot about his award and who was going to win it, but did talk to him about the Vegas Golden Knights, how special this is. And also got to talk to him a little bit about a guy by the name of Alexander Ovechkin and where he's going to rank in the hockey lore when it's all said and done.
It's Mark Messier here at this 2018 NHL Awards. They mean a little something different to everyone here in Vegas right now after the season they just had. You've been around this game your entire life for the most part. Have you ever seen anything like this?
I think it's one of the most amazing stories in sports ever. I don't think anybody expected it, but it just goes to show you what can happen. Full participation from everybody and everybody believing in each other. The Vegas came out the first night and the opening night played unbelievable, and they never looked back. They battled through adversity all year long through injuries and never had a hiccup all the way through. And unfortunately, they came up a little short. I'm sure they're disappointed, but when they look back on it, they're going to be very proud of what they were able to accomplish.
Everyone scratches their head, and everyone has a different opinion and a different theory as how something like this could happen. What's yours?
Well, I think what happened was that they had a lot of belief in each other. They had great, obviously, veteran leadership. They had great coaching. The management did an amazing job galvanizing the team and bringing the players in here. But and right from the ownership down, you know, when you have that kind of success, it's not by accident. It happens for a reason, and the people that were responsible for doing certain things and certain jobs in the organization did it very well, and the players responded.
A guy like Marc-Andre Fleury, you played with a couple of great goaltenders yourself in your career. What about a guy like him at 33 years old? You don't want to say he was a cast-off, but to come here, who could have expected this?
Well, I think he expected it from himself, and I think because he expected it himself, he gave off that confidence to everybody else, and I think the players believed in the goaltending they had. Even when he was injured, they had guys that come in there and fill in for him, but when you got a guy that's coming off three Stanley Cups and with that kind of pedigree and that kind of confidence and that kind of dynamic personality, he was a galvanizer for the team for sure.
The Conn Smythe winner this year, Alex Ovechkin, my goodness, one of the best ever. I'm standing here talking to you. You've played with Wayne Gretzky. You've seen some of the all-time greats and played with them and against them. Where does he rank?
Well, we'll see. I think that's for everybody to decide. He's got a lot of years left in him. I don't think he's by far done, so I don't think it's a little too premature to start putting him in and labeling him in that regard. He's had such an amazing career, and he's got a lot left. He's still a young guy, and I don't think we've heard the last of Alex.
We appreciate you very much.
Thank you.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
It's a fact the NFL hired Jeff Triplett to be their analyst in the booth for Monday Night Football this year. Wow is all I can say. If you remember, the dude threw a flag and hit Orlando Brown, ended his career in the eye. The guy's eye is still screwed up to this day. This guy has constantly been criticized, and he's going to be in the booth analyzing other officials. Go figure that one out,
Max. I've always looked at it this way. If I know the name of the official, especially in the NFL, then I know that they suck.
It's bad. Jeff Triplett's bad. Hey, listen, real quickly, the 51s report. 51s in town, wrapping up a homestand. Today, they'll be playing Reno. Then they head to Tacoma for the Rainiers. They're back on Friday, and they will be playing the Salt Lake Bees. You got firework Friday night. Listen, we're about out of time. I want to thank everyone. Magnum for taking care of us today. Producer extraordinaire Jose Vellante. Check out Straight Bet Sports. His podcasts are great. All the interviews we did today, William Carlson, George McPhee, Mark Messier, Victor Hedman, P.K. Subban. Did I leave anyone out, Megs?
Mark Messier.
I think I said Messier, but hey, if I didn't, we got it. Out of line, we're back next week. 8 to 9 every Monday, every Sunday here on Fox Sports Radio. Bye-bye.
Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
This is a karate dojo, not a knitting class. You don't come in my dojo and drop a challenge and leave, old man.
KRLV Las Vegas.